we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and I hope you're ready for another exciting week here in Brevard County, and you're ready to hit the ground running. So thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. It's my first morning with my new mouth here, so who knows what this thing will do. Let's fire it up and see what comes out today, but pray that you're having had a great weekend of worship and that you are ready for another exciting week. We want to get you started by saying thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical. They are one of our sponsors here at the radio program, and they have been saying that they have just been really, really busy of late, and so we want to thank you for supporting those who help bring this broadcast to you. So if you need anything this week, whether your AC's broke down or your heat's broke down, you need some electrical work, or maybe you just want your unit to have a tune-up or get your coils cleaned before the heat really starts impacting us later on, give them a call, 632-9538, 632-9538. So we got some exciting things that are coming up at Merritt Assembly of God. We'll be sharing those with you at a later time, but I do want to let you know of a special event that we have coming up at our vintage service. Now, this will be on February the 7th, so write that date down. It will not be this week, February the 7th. We have a Southern Gospel singing group that is going to be with us at our 11 a.m. vintage service. It's called the Stevens Family. I actually went to Bible college with them years ago. That was me telling you it was a long, long time ago in a land far, far away. The last report I had from them was that as far as the Southern Gospel music charts, they had three songs in the top 100 of that most recent chart. They do original music. So if you would like to come and be a part of that, all we're going to do that day is take up a love offering. Listen, we only average about 12 to 15 people that attend our vintage service. And so we have plenty of seats available. And so on February the 7th at 11 a.m., we want to invite you to come out and be a part of this. If you like Southern Gospel music and you are not doing anything during the day, this would be a great opportunity for you, 165 North Grove Street. So we'll keep mentioning that from time to time until the day gets closer at hand. So I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 13. We're wrapping up or trying to wrap up, starting to wrap up our series on remembering things that the Word of God tells us to remember. And so I'm going to take you through the 13th chapter of Hebrews. We're not going to touch on every verse, but there are several things in here, some of which we've already touched on. But let's take a look at it. Verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We're going to stop the reading there for right now. So beginning in verse number one, it says, let brotherly love continue. And I pray that in 2016, as you and I are going about the things that God has called us to do, that we will remember that love is the key ingredient that identifies believers from unbelievers. It is the mark of distinction. Not love as the world would redefine it, but love the way that God defines it, as an unconditional love that is not self-seeking, but it is a serving love. It is a giving love. It is a love that looks out for other people. We're going to talk about that more a little bit on a later broadcast anyway. So let brotherly love continue. You are not just called to your own little microcosm there, but that's not what it's talking about with brotherly or just a small family love. I don't know if you've ever encountered somebody and they said, man, I have 9 brothers and sisters or 11 brothers or sisters. You know, I've got one of each. And whenever you have a larger family, there's a by you know, just the logistics of it, there's going to be a larger gap many times between the oldest and the youngest, and there may be a bit of a disconnect there because they grew up in completely different environments. They're at different stages of their life almost all of the time. I went to school with somebody, and their I think it was their uncle was 1 year younger than they were. That's hard to comprehend a little bit there, but I want to enlarge your vision. It is not just talking about those brothers and sisters that you have from your biological parents, but it is talking about the family of God. It's talking about the brothers and sisters that we have in Christ, that when we come together, listen, the church is not a building. The church is a family. It is a group of people, the body of Christ that is gathered together. We have the same Father, and we have the same brother in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember to exemplify that sort of love. And we need to remember that Jesus said, a house divided against itself shall not stand. It doesn't just mean a house. It means every house that is divided against itself shall stand. That is one of my great concerns with where we are in America. It is not that there are so many sinners in America. It is that we are truly a house divided almost pretty much down the middle. And you and I, we need to believe that when God says that every house divided against itself shall not stand, it, that it will fall, that he knows what he's talking about. It may not fall today and it may not fall tomorrow, but eventually it is going to either have to come to that place where it is no longer a divided house or it will be a collapsed house. That's what Jesus said. So we need to make sure that our brotherly love continues. If you want to continue to have revelation in your life, your vision, your ministry, it has got to go beyond you. I believe that that is one of the marks of distinction of Merit Assembly of God, is that we do not allow ourselves to become so intra-focused that we cease to reach out into the community. We are a missions church. I was having a conversation with someone several months ago, and they said, it doesn't take long for you to come to Merit Assembly of God to realize that missions is the strength of this church. And so here's what our mindset is about that. And that is, as long as we are partnering with God in the business that he is in, which is the redemption business, that he is going to continue to make sure that we have the laborers that we need, that we have the resources that we need, because he knows that we're going to put it to use in the projects that he is working on. And so if I can just share with you just a moment, last Wednesday in our vintage service, I was sharing out of Isaiah and was talking about how people, and I'm turning back there so I can give you the exact reference, that people who have been surrounded with adversity, it's in Isaiah chapter 41, and people have gathered up, and there's enemies of all sorts. And I was primarily sharing from Isaiah 41, verses 11 through 16, and that we do not have to be afraid, that God has given us a promise that he is going to triumph over all of those enemies, and he would make our enemies our footstool. And so I was sharing with that, and we like to be delivered from our problems. I don't know about you, but I don't like having there are certain problems. There are good problems and there are bad problems. And so if you got a problem, you know, like we experience on some of our service nights where we are having to come up with creative solutions as to how to function in our space because of the number of different classes we operate with, those are good problems. If you are looking for more parking spots at your church, those are good problems. There are also bad problems, which are division and strife and discord and backbiting and things like that. So we don't want those things to happen. So God says that he will deliver us from all of those adversities, all of those opponents and enemies that are trying to destroy us and prevent us from fulfilling our task. And he says, I don't want you to be afraid. It doesn't matter whether there's one enemy or whether there's a million enemies. It doesn't matter. He says, I'm with you. I will help you. I will be with you, says the Lord. And so, it's because of his qualifications and his character that we're going to get the victory. We don't need to give place to fear. We need to give place to faith. And what I got really excited about was after the victory, God said that he would make the nation a threshing sledge with new sharp teeth, a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. And what I shared with our congregation that day was a threshing sledge was a tool for harvest. A threshing sledge was a tool for harvest, and it wasn't going to be dull, and it wasn't going to be ineffective. It wasn't going to be just one blade at a time, but it was going to be able to use to bring in a large harvest. And so today I want to encourage you to let brotherly love continue. And it doesn't matter if you're facing any adversity or if your neighbor's facing adversity. Let's continue to look to God and believe in him, and he will use us. He will transform us and use us for his glory. The end result in that last verse that I had shared with you there said that the people would rejoice as a result of that. I pray that this week that the kingdom, I know that heaven rejoices whenever one sinner gives their heart to the Lord and repents. And I pray that this week that Brevard County will use you and use me as we continue to remember brotherly love, that there would be cause to rejoice because God's using us to bring in the harvest here in Brevard County. It also says in verse number 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And so what it is, what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is, remember to be hospitable. Remember to be friendly. Remember to open up your heart and open up your resources to those, because you may not be aware that you are opening your door to someone that God is going to use to communicate. An angel, it says that some have unwittingly entertained angels. Angels are messengers from God, that they behold the face of God, and they come from the throne room of God, and they return to the throne room of God. They bring messages from heaven. And so an angel is simply a messenger. And when you think about this, I don't know about you, but I think of the two men who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And travel in those days was very hazardous. Travel at night was even more hazardous. And so this man comes up and begins to go on the journey with them, and as they communicate, Jesus begins to explain everything about the Messiah that needed to take place. And then when they get there, they're still not recognizing that this is Jesus, and he was going to go further. They invited him into his house, and as he sat there and blessed and broke bread, that all of a sudden their eyes were opened. They recognized Jesus because they had opened up their house to him. And so can I give you just a little bit of a challenge? And that is that when we have visitors and guests, when we have new people that come to our church, can I encourage you? Do what you can to make them feel welcome. You don't know what God might use them to accomplish in your life. So if you visit Merit Assembly of God, we have a gift for you. It's not because we've always done this. We just like it. We consider it a treat for you to come and worship God with us. And so we ask people to pray or to fill out an information card, not so that we can bombard them with literature, but so that we can pray for them. And so this last week we had Marianne and Cindy and Marty, and there was a couple from Illinois, and there was a guy by the name of Max. There was another gentleman, and I didn't get his information, but there were a number of people, and so we pray for them that God will lead them and bless them and guide them and position them exactly where God would have them here in this county to grow and serve in the Lord. And so that's what we do. And as a result, you know, just to say thank you, we had some mugs created. They've got Refresh radio broadcast information on there, as well as the church information. And then we fill it up with chocolates, and we ask them if they wouldn't mind praying for us whenever they're having their coffee. Maybe they're drinking their coffee while they're listening to the radio program, and they could pray for us that this ministry would be able to reach people. We are here to see saints mature and the body of Christ grow. I pray that you will find your place of service and that God will use you to build his kingdom. And the thing that the Hebrews author is saying here is to develop this into such a lifestyle that it is that you are unwittingly, you may unwittingly entertain angels. In other words, this has become such a lifestyle for you, that hospitality in the church of God, that people may come in strangers and they leave family. That they would go and say, wow, you know, I really, really enjoyed getting to know such and such a person. We've got a family in our church. I can tell you the very first day that they came to the church, they came on Easter Sunday, and we have a picnic after our Easter service. We have a little bit of time for the kids to hunt eggs with candy in it and stuff like that. But we also present them with a gospel outreach, and so. But back in this day, we didn't do this, and we did not have a lot of people in our church. We were probably running about 30 people at the church, and this man's wife, I'm still in our church today, and she came, and I struggle with names. This lady remembered every person's name, who they were married to. I mean, as she began to come in and we had conversations with her, she remembered all of these details. I want you to know that God uses that woman as a contact point in the community. We have more prayer requests that come in from outside of our congregation through her than through any other person or any other means. And you know what? We believe that God is going to use people like that, people like you and like me, to be hospitable, and that all of a sudden we are going to receive divine revelation. Our lives are going to be blessed because of it. Be a hospitable people. It is time that the church be known for our hospitality, for our love, and for our message, than it is for us to be known as a bunch of angry people. So I want to encourage you, start that, you know, maybe this week. I'll never forget when my wife and I moved to Florida here. We were looking for what church God would have us to serve in, and we visited some churches, we tried to visit another church, never could find that one, we eventually found it through some ministers' meetings later on, but when we were looking for a church, we couldn't find it. And the second time we showed up at this one church, the pastor greeted us at the door and he said, "Where have you been? We have been looking for you." And we ended up going out to lunch with him later that day, and we served 3 years with him down there in Melbourne. You know, I never forgot that. I never forgot that church because when we went into church one Sunday after we'd been there a few weeks, we came out and someone had broken into our car and filled it up with all sorts of goods. And so the next week we came to church and we locked it up again and came out after church and they'd broken into it again and they'd filled it up with more stuff. And I'm thinking, listen, when you are breaking into people's vehicles to bless them, that is a real ministry of hospitality. Let's be known for how much we like people, not how much we dislike people. Amen. Listen, there's a number of people who say, you know, if it wasn't for people, the ministry would be great. But I'm here to tell you that if it wasn't for people, there would be no ministry. God loves people, and we as his church should love people. He said it is impossible for you to declare that you love me and then turn around and hate your brother or hate people. It's just inconducive. If we love God, we're going to have his heart. So remember or do not forget to be hospitable. Verse number 3 we have already talked about, and that is remember the prisoners. I have a person that I know. Before I knew him, his pastor had thrown out an invitation, to the congregation to come and, you know, if they were interested in doing prison ministry. And this guy had no interest whatsoever in doing, prison ministry or jail ministry. He had been a senior pastor on multiple occasions, knows the word just remarkably well, gifted musician as well. And he said, you know, I'm going to show up at that meeting today because I just don't want the pastor to show up for that and then not one person be in there. But he really didn't have a desire to get involved with it. But what happened was when he got in there, the Holy Spirit began to work in his heart, and he discovered that was the passion of the ministry passion of his life. And he just absolutely loves ministering to people and seeing captives set free. And so I encourage you, don't forget to pray. We touched on this a little bit earlier, so I'm not going to harp on it today. Remember that you also are in the body. So verse number 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so I want to encourage you today to remember to keep marriage in the condition that God created it to be in, that it is an honorable place. It is an honorable place. By God's definition of honor, it is a place that is to be treated with respect, and the bed is to be undefiled. Again, let me tell you, it didn't start off this way in the Old Testament, but God's progressive step-by-step plan was to get people to, in the New Testament, that there was one man and one woman. That was the biblical definition of marriage. That was the God-given goal, and he was constantly working towards that process. And so I just tell you this, if one of the marriage partners is trying to bring more people into the marriage situation than that, that there's a problem. There is a sin problem. There is a heart problem. And I encourage you, do not comply with that. That will not make your marriage better. It will destroy it. It will make it worse. And so keep your marriage bed undefiled. On the night that my wife and I got married, the very first thing that we did when we walked into our hotel room was we knelt down at the side of the bed and we prayed, God, may this be marriage be a marriage that is honorable and holy. God, I pray that you would sustain this marriage, and I pray that we would keep it that which you have called it to be. You see, there are only three individuals in a marriage. There is the husband, there is the wife, and the glue that holds all of that together is God. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. And so the last thing I want to tell you is that people who violate that principle, remember that there is a day of accounting, a day of accountability that is coming. It is not going to be something that is going to be able to wield influence out of. There's not an ability that you're going to be able to bribe your way out. You see, if you and I have committed sin, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, okay, there is only one way out of that dire judgment, and that is through the gift, the God-given gift of repentance and accepting Jesus' offer of salvation. So as we begin this week, remember to treat the brothers and sisters that you have in Christ. Remember to love them continuously. Also, do not forget to be hospitable. Remember those who are captive, whether it's in a prison cell, whether it is those who are being persecuted, those who may be imprisoned by a sickness or a disease. Remember to be hospitable to those people. And the last thing that I want to remind you about today is quite simply this. Remember to honor your husband. Honor your wife. You say, well, if I don't have a husband or a wife, well, remember to honor your future husband and or wife. Remember to take the steps now to keep that which is honorable later. On last Wednesday night at our boys' ministry, I had the boys describe their perfect day, and then we started trying to put things into a container, and we filled it up, and then I brought out, and one boy had remembered the emphasis on God, and we tried to put God down in that container beforehand, and there was just no room. There was just no room for God. So we had to take everything out, and we put God in first. You know, the little heart that was symbolizing God, we put it in, and you would be amazed at how much of the stuff that was in there before we were still able to get in there because we put God in first. Lord, I pray today that every one of us would remember to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be hospitable to one another, to remember those who are imprisoned, and Lord, may we remember to keep our marriage sound and holy before you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an organ.